Thanks for listening to the Restoration Podcast. Here in 2021, we are unable at this point to gather as a whole family for worship due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but our home churches still gather and grow together online. And so if you need resources for that, go to restorationlex.com/this week. There's a weekly home church guide with kids resources, worship, prayer, message, links for giving, everything you need to be the church right where you are. Again, restorationlex.com/this week. Thanks for listening, and here we go. Restoration, we are back in the Gospel of Luke, and to be honest, we got a ton of ground to cover today, a lot of important stuff, so we're just going to jump right in. Luke chapter 6, we're starting in verse 1, so grab your Bible app, follow along on the screen, let's read the scriptures together. Here's what it says. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.'" So as we begin Luke chapter 6, this story, Jesus is facing accusations from who will become a common adversary throughout Luke and all the Gospels, and that's the Pharisees. Maybe you've heard of them. Now, I want to say something today that may surprise you. The Pharisees, they kind of get a bad rap. We modern Christians, we use that term Pharisee as a catch-all for anyone who is judgmental or legalistic or looks down on other people. But in reality, not all the Pharisees were bad. And in fact, Jesus had a lot in common with the Pharisees. And in the first century, they weren't the religious elite. They were well-liked by the common people. They just longed for Israel to follow the law of God. Now, they had a very, very strict interpretation of that law. And on top of that, they had other laws and traditions that they added on top. And this is important. They saw them as equally authoritative. So for Jesus, the problem wasn't as much what they believed, but how they believed it in light of others. So instead of using this term Pharisee as a pejorative for religious judgment, I'm going to use a term that's a little more universal for really all religions and faith, and that's the term legalist. Now, what is legalism? Here's how I would define it. Legalism is a performative posture that relies on an impossible moral standard in order to please God and to judge others, which then gives us some insight into these accusations. According to these Pharisees, the disciples, when they're grabbing these heads of grain and they're rubbing them in their hands and they're eating the kernels, they are reaping and harvesting, and that's against the Sabbath. Now, according to Mosaic law, reaping and harvesting on the Sabbath is against the law. You're supposed to rest, but is just taking grains in your hands and eating them as you're walking by, is that reaping and harvesting? Well, if you're just going by the Old Testament law, no. But if you're going by the Pharisees' interpretations and their traditions according to their understanding of the law, then yes, it's a violation of the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees, they weren't guarding the authority of the law of God as much as they were guarding the authority of their interpretation and their traditions, which really is what legalism is all about. I hope you can see the difference there. And if you don't, Luke gives you another example here in chapter 6. Here's what he says. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Again, is it against the law to heal on the Sabbath? Well, in the tradition of the Pharisees, it is. There's nothing that really says that in the law itself, but according to their tradition, it was. Pharisees, in this story, they were focused on the law, but Jesus was focused on the person. But as you hear that, let me clarify something. Jesus is not saying, look at those buzzkill Pharisees with all of their rules. It's not about rules, it's about people. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying at all. And many people, when we've been wounded by legalism in the church or legalistic Christians, we tend to overcorrect to that distortion of Christianity. But it is just that. It is a distortion. In Matthew 5, in fact, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." See, the options here aren't between legalism and just an anything goes Christianity. Instead, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. He himself has become the law for us on our behalf. And in doing so, he has summed up the purpose, the aim of the law like this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, what makes legalism such a fundamental distortion of our faith, even as moral and as upright and devoted as it may seem on the outside, is that it fails to love God and in the process fails to love our neighbors as ourselves. And according to Jesus, if you lose that, you lose everything. And so let's be honest then. All of us, you and I, we are prone at times to sliding into the very same mindset we see in the Pharisees here in our story. None of us are immune to legalism. I don't care your background or your belief system or your politics. None of us are immune. So I want to spend the rest of our time here today looking back at our story and seeing three warning signs that we too are sliding into the very same mindset. Here's the first one. Legalists focus on everyone's sins but their own. If you look back, the Pharisees, as they're nitpicking about the grain and the disciples eating it, they're not just walking around by accident. They are actively pursuing Jesus and his followers, trying to catch them breaking the law. Look again at verse 7. It says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely. Now, in the Greek there, that word for watch him closely, it kind of means lie in wait. This is malicious. This is predatory. It reminds me in John chapter 8, where the Pharisees, they bring the woman who is caught in adultery before Jesus. And if you're reading this story closely, you should ask, how did the Pharisees catch this woman in adultery? Well, do the math. They followed her and they spied on her. In the process of trying to catch someone breaking the law, they themselves break the law just as much as those they are pursuing. Which leads us to the second warning sign. Legalists, they hold people to standards they themselves are unable or unwilling to keep. Again, in verse 11, the first thing that the Pharisees do in response to this miracle is they go away angry and begin to plot to kill Jesus. Now, ironically, that act of plotting and planning together, that's work. It's a violation of the Sabbath. You know what else is a violation? Murdering someone. This is insane. And really, it's the oldest trick in the book. You hold people to an impossible standard, and when they don't meet that standard, you weaponize that standard in a way that is a violation of the standard itself. That's why Jesus writes to them in Matthew 23. He says this, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. And then finally, the third warning sign is that legalists, they let their religion cripple their compassion. I mean, in this story, imagine being in the synagogue and seeing this miracle right in front of your eyes. Heaven breaking into earth. It's beautiful. And you respond by running away, angrily plotting the death of Jesus. And they're not just angry. There in the Greek, the word is even more harsh. It means that they have mindless fury. They're literally going insane with anger from seeing Jesus heal this person. Imagine seeing this and caring less about the person who is experiencing brokenness, physical brokenness, spiritual brokenness, and caring more about the fact that your interpretation of the law is not being lived up to. Again, in Matthew 23, Jesus says this to the Pharisees, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You shouldn't have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." Jesus' message is clear. This is not an either or. Our devotion to God is not an excuse to be cold and unloving towards the practical needs of our neighbors. A holiness towards God that is cold and unloving towards our neighbors is a holiness that is foreign to God and the scriptures. It just isn't what you see in Jesus. So for us who are fighting legalism, there's good news. You see, grace, it rescues us both from our sin and from our legalism. What's good news to me today is that Jesus, he loves broken religious people. He loves struggling, recovering legalists like me. People who struggle to show grace to those who don't think like them sometimes. And so as we close today, in light of these warning signs around legalism, I want to first remind you that these statements, these assertions today are not meant to bring shame or guilt, but they are meant to show that grace is given through Jesus Christ, and you do not have to live up to an impossible standard that neither you can keep or the people that you're trying to hold this standard to can as well. And so I want to give us three questions to close for us personally and for us to talk about in our home churches as well. Diagnostic questions to see where our heart is in terms of legalism and how we see God and our neighbors. The first question is this: who do I find myself standing over in judgment? Be honest then, who is that for you? Second one is this: where do I see a disconnect between the faith I proclaim and the life I actually live? In other words, what standards do I project out to others that I myself are unwilling or unable to keep? And then finally, to whom do I struggle to offer compassion and grace? Who is that for you? You might come into a message like this and think, you know, I'm okay. I know all those legalist and religious people over there. I thank God that I'm not like them, but if that's what you get from a message like this, you're missing the heart of Jesus, because each and every one of us, no matter our background or belief system or politics, we are all prone in our heart because of our sin to be legalist and stand in judgment over others. This is an opportunity to see the grace that Jesus offers us in our own brokenness and offer that same grace to others. Because the gospel is not, if you get all this stuff right, God will love you. The gospel is that God loves you right where you are in both your sin and your religion. And by the grace of Jesus, he's calling you to something more. Thank God. Because I need that grace. And you need that grace. And so let's receive it. Father, I thank you by your Son. We don't have to spend our lives worrying about whether or not you are pleased with us, because in Jesus, you look at us the same way you saw him as he's being baptized. You say, this is my Son, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. Lord, you have taken our sin and our religion and you have given us your righteousness. And so let us be a good news people. Let us repent of both our sin and the impossible standards we hold ourselves to and we hold others to. Jesus, let your love be the standard of our lives. May we be devoted to you. May our obedience be the fruit of love and not fear in comparison to others. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. Thank you for being leader of our church. Thank you for growing us. Thank you for what you're going to do this week in our home churches together as we gather. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, you can find everything you need, as you know, hopefully, at restorationlex.com/this week. Questions about the passage we looked at today, and also those three questions that, I hope you talk about with your home churches and process together and be honest about who you stand in judgment over. Who are you tempted to be legalist towards? We can be honest with one another because we can experience the same grace of Jesus with one another as we are honest and we pray for one another in the midst of our brokenness and experience the healing that Jesus offers together as a church. I love y'all. I'm so excited to continue to see what God does this year. We will be back in this space next Sunday. Love you, and we'll see you soon.